There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Come on.
Quick ask before we get started today. I am working to help people lead happier and more contented lives. My part of that is money. So if you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've enjoyed past episodes, please take a minute and leave a quick review on iTunes. Subscribe. That helps the show climb up the rankings and helps more people find it. So thanks a lot. And is it Talcott? Talcott?
Talcott. You got it right the first time.
All right. Lisa Talcott is an employee benefit sales executive with Assured Partners of Minnesota. And now finally, a guest on Money Savage Maximize. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, George. Glad to be here.
Yes, this is George Grumbacher, and it is time to go. Lisa, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so I have three kids. I've lived in Minnesota for 6 years prior to that. I lived in Colorado for 12 years, and I'm really excited to be in this space to help people improve their lives. And it's constantly evolving and changing, which makes it constantly interesting. And I have a very curious mind. So it works out well. I'm in a good place.
That is a good fit right there. I think that if you're not in a space where you can be intellectually curious and working to solve problems, that's probably not a very happy place. So appreciate that. Well, tell us a little bit about what it is that gets you most excited, or maybe talk about the some of those main challenges that you're trying to solve.
Well, first and foremost, I think what's really key with this work is that it's personal. People are at the heart of a business, and so offering best-in-class benefits to employees is one of the most effective ways you can show you care about their well-being and appreciate their contributions, which ultimately are what make the business successful. So whether the employee gets their benefits and uses them optimally, well, that's kind of a whole separate deal.
That is the truth right there. First things first, you need to make sure that you are putting people in the right position to be successful, right? And so therefore, offering, as you said, best-in-class benefits is a great starting point. So now that being said, how does one know if they're offering best-in-class benefits?
Well, actually, that's what I thought would be good to talk about today. The single biggest factor that drives the effectiveness of managing all the dynamics of these rising healthcare costs and trying to maintain the costs and attract top talent and offer best-in-class benefits is increasing the employee benefits perception. So not what the benefits are, but what the employees think the benefits are based on the education and communication provided. So in other words, how the employee benefits are perceived is actually more important than what they are.
Okay, that's fair enough. I don't doubt that for a second. Why is that?
So the better healthcare consumers are equipped to make better decisions that impact their claims, their utilization, the better results from a business perspective, the owner is going to be able to see the renewal increases or decreases as a direct result of that. And, you know, we read in the news every day that the healthcare costs are continuing to rise with no end in sight. So employers are in a real tug of war between controlling costs and becoming an employer of choice. We've got the 50-year low of unemployment around 3.5%. Wages are steady at about 3.2% growth, but employee satisfaction is low at only 51%. So employers have had to cost share with employees, yet the employees depend on employers for better, more affordable benefits than they could get on the individual market. But then you have all these dynamics within the collection, the demographics of the employees. A third of employees are living paycheck to paycheck. 50% of employees say in a recent survey that they would face financial hardship without workplace benefits. In the last decade, medical costs for families are up 67% compared to wages having increased just 26%. But then on the other hand, you've got one in five employees get an F in understanding their benefits, and the average grade is a C. So you have all these conundrums, you know, kind of built in here that's kind of counterintuitive. 70% of employees strongly agree. I am more likely to be loyal to a company that offers me employee benefits that are personalized to my needs. Yet 70% of consumers don't know what to choose, so they simply check a box, passively electing a health plan they had the previous year and just what they were most familiar with.
Got it. Okay. So when you say that it's not even, like, the biggest factor is not just that you're offering awesome benefits, it's that your employees, it's not just that they think that they're good, but maybe that they're actually engaged in it and they say, you know what, I'm working for a great company that's offering me great benefits, and maybe because of that, and because I feel that way and because of the work that they're doing to position me for success and educate me, therefore I'm going to be a more engaged, effective user of said benefits.
Yeah, that's part of it. There's just engagement on the most general level. But then, like, a few examples, if the employees are actually educated and are provided the resources to help them make the informed decisions, they have a much greater chance to understand the value of their options. And if they understand their options, then they're going to be better utilizers of their benefits in the healthcare system. So, for example, are they utilizing telemedicine services? Is there a telemedicine option that will save time and money versus an expensive ER visit or missing work for an appointment at a clinic? 70% of acute illnesses can be diagnosed over the phone and provided a prescription. That's pretty efficient in the modern workplace.
That is a pretty wild number right there. But I have no idea what the take-up rate or the usage on telemedicine is. Are people actually using it? Is it increasing exponentially? Is it still just sitting there and nobody's using it?
Well, it's definitely what carriers, at least in the Minnesota market, for sure. But we have several national carriers right here in our backyard. But that's definitely a direction that they are all headed. Like, how can we meet patients, consumers, employees, where they are? So if they can talk to a doctor over the phone and get a prescription from the comfort of their living room, or as they're juggling their work life demands versus going and sitting and waiting to get an appointment or sitting in the clinic for an hour or what have you, why wouldn't we move in that direction? But in addition to what the carriers offer, there are other services and vendors in the marketplace that are providing excellent access to these services in a meaningful way. And so it's all about that engagement. And so, there's lots of choices on the market. I won't focus on any one, but telemedicine is, in general, is definitely on that innovative edge.
And it certainly seems like that would be a pretty popular thing, being that it seems like so many of us can't be bothered to get off of our butts and get off the couch to go through the drive-through even these days. So why wouldn't I be able to, or why wouldn't I want to actually communicate, and instead of actually going into the doctor or going to actually I could just get a prescription filled and maybe even have that eventually delivered also.
Yeah.
But Lisa, that's perhaps part of the problem as well. with our whole healthcare system is that people are not getting off their couch to. Anyway, I don't need to make.
Well, that's yes, that's being proactive with the wellness is a good, you know, it is part of the communications with enhanced employee benefits options as well. Lots of wellness programs out there. They're vastly underutilized, right? So that's another thing carriers are looking at is ways to, again, meet people where they are, try to reach those people that instead of reaching out, get those hard to reach individuals that actually need the help engaged in a place that makes sense to them. Because not everybody is going to be a go-getter and go seek out all of the resources that are provided. Some of them are just going to sit back and go like, just, you know, keep me on a need to know basis. So, you know, that's something that is something that you can move the needle on as an employer and as an employee. Another one that's a good example, George, are the employees being provided benefit statements? So this is a personalized employee document that shows the costs of their coverages, their paid time off, their 401k match, et cetera, in addition to their taxable wages. So if you can get a visual in front of your employees, a pie chart of the total value of their compensation, because most employees, you know, at the end of the day, they look at what comes out of their paycheck, what goes into their bank account, and they shrug their shoulders and move on, right? But when you look at that compensation statement, it might be, you know, another 30 or 50 or even 70% value on top of their take-home pay. And the more they realize that, they start to feel like, oh, geez, I am getting a pretty good deal here because of all of the investment my employer is making on my behalf in the benefits coverages. I better make use of those.
Yeah, I think that definitely makes a lot of sense. And just giving people reminders about that so that they are at least, at the very least, thinking about their benefits more than just that one time a year when they enroll for them. I think that makes a lot of sense. In terms of, you know, I've been thinking a lot about lately sort of a classic bell curve when it comes to impacting employees, with 15% on one end are going to be super engaged and you're probably not going to need to remind them to do anything. They're probably going to be well educated and enroll and be fit and eating right and all that good stuff. And then on the back end, there's going to be maybe 15% that are just they're going to miss the deadlines, and the HR folks are going to have to hammer them to get them to complete their benefits. And so you're probably not going to reach them, but that the real opportunity, or rather a huge opportunity, lies in that 70% of the population of any kind of a group where you can really move the needle. What are your thoughts on that in regard to some of the things we've been talking about?
Well, I think the key is being proactive throughout the year, and it's kind of retraining the communications. So, you know, for the employers, don't wait for your renewal to get started planning your benefits program. Mm-hmm. There might be some low-hanging fruit there. Maybe you can think more holistically about, you know, not just the numbers as far as the costs, but what are we trying to do here? Where would we like to move the needle? And what could a communication strategy be? Maybe it's an enrollment service that comes in and does one-on-one counseling, or maybe it's a series of email communications that remind them, okay, open enrollment is coming up. You know, here's what to look for. Start planning. Go take a look to give people a little bit of heads up. Like, you know, give your spouse a heads up. You guys are going to maybe need to have some conversations about what's the best fit for your household. So there are a lot of different ways to reach. You know, you can do videos, informational videos that people can watch on demand to help walk them through their choices. And so it just depends on what's best for each individual group and their culture. You know, maybe it's a remote workforce and everybody does, you know, how do they communicate with the remote workforce employees, or Maybe they have multiple locations. We've done video open enrollment meetings that people can go back and watch on demand. So it's just about, you know, coming up with ways to be flexible to try to meet people where they are.
And this is something that if a company executives have demands on their time and their attention. And when you start talking about, well, here's what we're going to do, we're going to put all these programs in place, I think it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But just taking small bites out of it, and like, I guess I shouldn't try to answer my own question. How do you deal with companies like that? And they say, you know, at least this all sounds good, but that's a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, it's definitely helpful to take a strategic view so that you can layer on the programs and the different approaches and test it and see how it's going little by little. So, you know, also when you're putting the benefits, you know, getting back to planning ahead and being proactive, you know, get out of that mindset of a 12-year cycle. You know, you don't look at if you're always thinking like, oh, I'm going to look at my coverages every 12 months, and that's the only time you're thinking about it, well, then, you know, you're short-circuiting your own thinking. But if you step back and you say, well, what are my health, even on a personal level or on a business level? Like, okay, on a business level, you know, what's our 1-year growth trajectory? What's our 3-year? What's our 5-year? What's our 10-year plan? And that's where you get into the, you know, the more cultural and strategic filters around like, well, who are we as a business? Who are we going to be? Who are we trying to become? And how are the benefits we're offering and the way we communicate those reflecting our core values, that we're always living out those core values? So it can, you know, if you start at the core of the strategic the strategic outlook, then that's where it can suddenly, like, everything is integrated. It's not, you're not adding on things. You're not maxing out your capacity. You're just making better use of your messaging to your employees.
Got it. I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's oftentimes it's like Occam's razor, right? The most obvious answer is the correct one. And knowing that you are doing everything with your company's core values in mind, with not necessarily even where we are today, but where do we want to be in the future? Who is it that we want to become? And that will inform all the decisions you make. I think that makes a lot of sense. So, well, Lisa, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
So my difference-making tip is to fund your HSA, your health savings account, as soon as possible. Think of it like a medical 401k that allows you to accumulate equity towards your future healthcare needs, which are continuing to increase. Instead of thinking about benefits in the 12-month increments, like we said, start thinking long range from a health-centric standpoint. And employer contributions to HSAs are a business write-off, lower payroll tax, and encourage skin in the game to foster a more active role in healthcare choices and spending by employees. So every decision impacts ROI. Contribute to that HSA and help yourself. Help your future self. Your future self will thank you.
That is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
And yes, your future self will thank you. You might not care about that person today, but when you meet that person, you certainly will. So, Lisa, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
I am on LinkedIn at Lisa Telcott, and my email address is ltelcott@apminnesota.com.
Perfect. Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Lisa your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find her on LinkedIn and also shoot her an email at ltelcott@apminnesota.com. I'll list that in the notes of the show because not everybody knows how to spell Minnesota. They probably do. Anyway, thanks again, Lisa.
Thanks, George. Take care.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. Before I go, quick announcement. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast, that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.